Our lesson tonight is on Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 to 22. This is dirge 1. Remember that Lamentations is built on five funeral dirges that Jeremiah formulated upon the fall of Jerusalem. Dirge 1 deals with Jerusalem's desolation due to her sin. Ideally, God wants his people to learn from their first exposure to his word to obey it for blessing. However, mortal man is a sinner. And at times, even we believers in Christ with our sin natures yield to the temptation to disobey God's word, only to pay a dear price in doing so in the form of very painful divine discipline. Nevertheless, in times of spiritual failure, the believer is ripe to learn from his sinful failure, what constitutes the burden of the prophet Jeremiah in his book of Lamentations. According to Lamentations 1, 1-22, Jeremiah's first dirge over the fall of Jerusalem voices the pain and the sorrow of loss, and noting the desolation of Jerusalem due to divine judgment. I want to read the verses and then look at, remember this is an acrostic. All of the dirges are acrostics. That means the first letter of the first word in each verse actually begins with a different and a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it focuses on the importance of the word. Verse 1, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow, the she that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces? How has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the Gentiles. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she's in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that find no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy and none did help her. The adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Jerusalem has grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, and because they have seen her nakedness, yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She hath no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy has magnified itself. The adversary has spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things, for she hath seen that the Gentiles entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreathed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall, and the Lord hath delivered me into the hands from whom I am not able to rise up. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Zion spreadeth forth her hands, and there is none to comfort her. The Lord hath commanded concerning Jacob that his adversaries should be round about him. Jerusalem is as a menstruous woman among them. The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandment. Hear, I pray you, all the people, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men are gone into captivity. I called for my lovers, but they deceived me. My priests and my elders gave up the ghost in the city, while they sought their food to relieve their souls. Behold, O Lord, I am in distress. My bowels are troubled within me, and my heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. broad the sword bereaveth, at home there is as dearth, death. They have heard that I sigh, there is none to comfort me. All mine enemies have heard of my trouble, and they are glad that thou hast done it. Thou wilt bring that day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. Let all their wickedness come before thee, and do unto them as thou hast done to me, for all my transgressions, and for my sighs are many, and my heart is faint. This chapter is broken into two sections. The first section is Jeremiah first described Jerusalem's desolation due to her sin from an objective viewpoint. He's looking at Jerusalem from the outside looking in verses 1 to 11. In verses 12 to 22, he's looking at Jerusalem from Jerusalem on the inside looking out as one of the people who has been affected by it. Well, describing Jerusalem's desolation due to her sin from an objective viewpoint outside in, he noted that invaded Jerusalem sat lonely, emptied of its people and destitute as a widow in her loss. See, Jeremiah had been around this city for 40 years, and all of a sudden it's empty, it's desolate, it's burned down. All the buildings are caved in, it's all destroyed. Where the city had been great among the nations, her people had become slaves to others. Jerusalem wept bitterly in the night, with none to comfort her, as all had become her enemies. The nation of Judah had gone into captivity, finding no rest, overcome by your enemies. All the people, whether they be priests or maidens, children, princes, they'd faced calamity and God's punishment. Jerusalem had sinned greatly, so she ended up unaided and uncomforted even by the Lord. Incidentally, I think that's probably going to be the worst part about hell, is once you get there, there's no comfort from God. It's all over. The temple lay desecrated and looted by invaders, and the people were hungry and they were despised. Well, in verses 12 to 22, Jeremiah then described Jerusalem's desolation due to sin subjectively as one of its sufferers. And of course, he would have been a man who was could identify with this because he himself is a Jew. And remember, Jeremiah had spent 40 years ministering with these people, and now many of them are slain, many of them are in captivity. So he's identifying with the sufferings of his people. Personifying the city as a sufferer, Jeremiah called out to those who passed by desolate Jerusalem to feel remorse for the city's loss and grief brought on by God's punishment. He then described Jerusalem's pain under God's discipline, noting how stunned it had left her as the people reeled under pain too great to bear and suffered under foes too strong to withstand. It's interesting, when God does get around to disciplining, in all cases that I've known, or even if I've seen it in my own life, the discipline of God is overwhelmingly, it's breathtaking. It's huge, because God wants to achieve what he wants to achieve. So it's nothing to take lightly. The discipline of God is suffocating. The destruction of her mighty men, the crushing of her young men, the desolation of her children, coupled with the lack of God's comfort or any other comforter, was the constant pain that Jerusalem faced. Jeremiah admitted that the Lord was right to level this type of discipline, for Judah's people had rebelled against God's word. But the suffering of that discipline in the form of the captivity of the people, the failure of Gentile allies to help as priests and elders, leaders in society perished while seeking food to revive their strength, it was too much for Judah's people to bear. And that's what Lamentations 1, 18 and 19 is all about. So the prophet, representing Jerusalem's people, called upon God to take note of their distress brought on by their sinful rebellion, what had led to death throughout the entire city. It's an amazing verse, verse 20. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Broad the sword bereaveth, at home it is as death. You know, the terrible thing is there's nobody to blame. It's yourself. In a situation like this, Jerusalem herself was guilty, and so she was now paying the price. Instead of sympathy from neighboring peoples, the Gentiles were happy that God's judgment had fallen on Jerusalem. So Jeremiah asked God to take vengeance on these Gentiles for it. It's interesting in other passages of Scripture where God administers a judgment, like in Obadiah to the Edomites, and in some of these other books, God does go after these people because of the way they rejoiced over the destruction of Jerusalem. Indeed, Jeremiah asked God to remember all the evil deeds of Jerusalem's Gentile foes that he might punish them, like he had punished Jerusalem with all of her sufferings. Now, what's interesting, five of the descriptions of Jerusalem's woes in Lamentations 1:1 to 22 match five predicted punishments from God for his people's sin in the Mosaic Covenant of Deuteronomy 28. Remember Deuteronomy 28, the Mosaic Covenant. In the first 14 verses, God says, if you obey me, if you do my will, this good thing, that good thing, so forth is going to happen. But if you disobey my word, beginning chapter 28, verse 15, this is going to happen to you. And it goes on for, up to another 45, 50 verses in that chapter, Deuteronomy, all the bad things that are going to happen. And what's interesting, five of the things that are predicted there in Deuteronomy 28 appear here in Lamentations. First of all, in Lamentations 1:3, Jerusalem dwelt among the nations without rest. And guess what? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 65 says that that would happen. Let me point that verse out here. Verse 65, and among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and feeling of eyes and sorrow of mind. It's amazing. In Lamentations 1:5, Jerusalem's foes had become her masters. And that fulfilled Deuteronomy 28, verse 44. Let me read that verse. He shall lend to thee, thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, thou shalt be the tail. Lamentations 1:5, also Jerusalem's children would be exiled as captives to foes. And that fulfilled Deuteronomy 28, verse 32. Verse 32 says, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. That's amazing. The families are broken up. The children are actually taken away from the parents and taken off to another situation. In Lamentations 1:6, Judah's people had fled before their pursuers, and that fulfilled Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 25, which says, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go on one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And then Lamentations 1:18, Judah's young men and maidens had gone into exile, and that fulfilled Deuteronomy 28, verse 41, which tells us that thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. See, one thing that you always want in a nation, you want young couples, young men, young women, because they're the hope. They're the ones that are going to produce families and produce children. And they're the energetic ones. Their lives are in front of them. So the loss of these young people, the young men and the young women, was a tremendous and a traumatic loss to the nation. So the lesson is, when God eventually fulfilled his word, severely to punish his people for sin, the pain they experienced was physically, mentally, and emotionally overwhelming. Nevertheless, such great suffering revealed the truthfulness of God's predictions and his righteous demands, but turned into instruction for God's rebellious people to repent of their sin in order to obey the Lord for future blessing. You know, we've been going through the book of Jeremiah, and we've spent quite a bit of time in it. And it's good that we did, because Jeremiah ministered over 40 years. But after all that warning, finally, the hammer of God fell. Boom. And then they paid the price. It was in discipline. But it demonstrated, even though God's long-suffering, he does keep his word. So, in application, may we learn from Jerusalem's great sufferings caused by God's discipline that his word is true, that he will surely fulfill it, even where it warns of severe discipline for sin. That being the case, may we then obey the Lord. We started off tonight, I think it was with the song, Trust and Obey. I think all my life, as my parents are missionaries and so forth, I don't remember a time when I don't know that song. We sang it as children. I had a missionary kid as a friend of mine sang, Trust and Obey, for the Lord is okay. That's not what the verse says, but It worked. It worked for him and it worked for us. We thought it was cute. He was just a little kid at the time. But really, trust and obey. Those are basic truths, but they're extremely important to God. He wants us to obey him. So may we obey him.